Good morning. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's the Song of Moses. Okay. Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who has brought you? Has he made you and established you? Remember the days of old? Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as a pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. He made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, the rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats. With the finest of the wheat and of the blood of grapes you drank wine. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You were grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. And the Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are perverse generations, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I'll make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield. It sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They shall be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts I will send upon them. With the venom of crawling things of the dust, outside the sword they shall bereave, and inside terror, both young man and virgin, the nursling and a man of gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces, I will remove the memory of them from men, had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, lest their adversaries should misjudge, lest they should say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. With it, they were wise that they understood this, that they would discern their fortune. How can one chase a thousand and put 10,000 to flight, unless the rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, the rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents and the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. For the Lord will vindicate his people, and will have compassion on his servants, when he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their libation? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I will lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on justice, I'll render vengeance on my adversaries and I'll repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries and will atone for his land and his people. Then Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people, he and with Joshua the son of Nun. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you, indeed it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. And the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up to this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and look at the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel for possession. Then die on the mountain where you ascend, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor, and is gathered to his people. Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the sons of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the sons of Israel. For you shall see the land at a distance, but you shall not go there into the land which I'm giving the sons of Israel. Amen. Man, that was long. Okay. This is the Song of Moses, which is quite a popular chorus to the Israelites. And this is Moses' last words. Later, he'll basically give the blessing, and then the turnover will happen, that he gives himself to gives the rulership to Joshua. But the Song of Moses was meant to be sung as a story. It was meant to be sung as history. It was meant to be sung as a reminder to the Israelites. And it's really talking about who God is, basically. God obviously is the primary force in this song. And so let's just go through this a little bit and just kind of try to pick out a few gems that are in here. The first thing he talks about is we see this picture of the rock that is constantly spoken of throughout this song. And the rock, which means strength, but also means stability. And this is who their God is to the Israelites. Wherever they are, he'll be his strength, and he'll be their stability if they would follow him. Unfortunately, the people don't follow him. And we read from a few chapters before that Moses is really prophesying basically what's going to happen, that they're going to go, and we can see phrases like in verse 15, but Jeshurun, if you ever see this in the Old Testament, this is the poetic name for Israel, or more precisely for Jerusalem. And in their poetry, a lot of times they won't say Jerusalem, they'll say Jeshurun. And so Jeshurun grew fat and kick. You are grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who had made him. And so we see a really common theme of the Israelites, that when they're struggling and suffering, they turn to the Lord. Like in Egypt, like in Babylonian captivity, like in Assyrian captivity, like in every captivity they've been under. And so they turn to God, but when things are going really well, they turn to idols. And when things are really kind of relaxed and chill, and that's, brothers and sisters, that's human nature. We're like that too. That's why in the New Testament, the Bible makes very clear about the dangers of wealth. Because wealth has that same trapping as well. You feel very self-sufficient. You feel like that is your security. You feel all these things. And that's why he says, you know, be careful. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a real truth behind that. And it has nothing to do with wealth or riches per se, but it's someone that very easily trusts wealth. Now, in the same way, the poor as well. Okay, so there could also be a spirit of poverty in the wealthy and also in the poor. And so, you know, that goes both ways in that regard. But there's something about when they're in trouble, when they're broken, that people generally tend to turn to the Lord. And we can see this throughout history as well. You can see it in our short American history. You could see it in the history of many different nations, especially where the gospel has really come in and penetrated. You could see it in Korea when times were difficult. They turned to the Lord and revival broke out. But in times of prosperity, church attendance, all kinds of these kind of spiritual markers are just go down and down and down. And it's really actually the state of what's happening right now, you know, as I'm speaking. And so so he reminds them of this, and he tells them, you know, to turn back to the Lord. Let's just focus on a few things. Go to verse 10. So he found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him and he cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. This is actually a really beautiful statement. And the idea, you could say he guarded him with his eye, but he says very, very precisely, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye. If you ever see from this distance, you can't see my eyes. I mean, you can see, I know I'm Asian, okay, I know I have small eyes, but you can't see the color of my eyes, you can't see, I've got a green circle around my eyes, and I probably have some white blood somewhere in me. You can't see that, but if you draw really close to me, I mean, if you get right in my face, you can see the fullness of my eyes. You can actually see my pupil. Another way of saying that, in the Psalms, they'll use the same language, but they'll call it the apple of your eye. Really, what it's talking about is your reflection. When you are looking in someone's eyes so closely, like you're staring, imagine two lovers staring into someone's eyes, and the what looks like an apple actually is your face. Because you're just seeing the reflection of your face, but they call it the apple of your eye. And what he's saying here is that when he found Israel and he drew close to them, and I mean, just like face to face, and he's talking about intimacy. He's talking about he cared for Israel and he drew so close that he could actually see the pupil of his eyes. And this is a really incredibly romantic gesture of the Lord, to really be able to do that. And then, verse 11, and this is what probably will be meaningful for some of you. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The stirring up the nest, if you know anything about eagles, okay, and it'd probably be a pretty good idea because there's for us to know what eagles do, because there's so many allusions to eagles in the Bible. But what a mother eagle will do is when he's teaching her young kids to fly, she'll shake the nest. In other words, she'll kick them out of the nest. She will force them to fly, and they'll go out and they'll fly, but the mom will fly right over them. And if the young eagle is having any difficulty, the mom will grab them. But the mom will always be with them throughout the time. And so it's this idea. And what we're really talking about here is faith. And if you look at it on our perspective, because, you know, all you see is the ground. Can you imagine you're trying to fly? Just imagine yourself as a young eagle. Your mom kicked you out of the nest, and you're trying to fly, and all you see is the ground. Ah, crazy. But then on God's perspective, right, he's right over you. He's right there, and he's guiding, and he's making sure that the wind currents, because that's basically how the eagles fly, right? It's not like they don't really flap their wings. They just find the current, and they just ride it out. It's almost a little bit like surfing in a certain way. And so these the eagles, and as soon as the young eagle has any problems, the mom very gently grabs them or tucks the wing or, you know, all different kinds of things. And so in our perspective, it looks like faith. It looks scary. But in God's perspective, everything is under control. Everything is under control. You know, and sometimes we get mad that God kicks us out of the nest. We get upset like, oh, God, I'm not ready for this thing. But see, mom knows best, right? The mother eagle, because she, I mean, you know, birds are very protective of their young. And so mom knows best that when it's time to learn her to fly, she knows. And she'll only kick the stir the nest up if the baby eagle is ready. And usually by this time, they're not a baby anymore. And so if you ever get upset that God is leading you on a faith journey, if you get upset that, you know, you're getting kicked out of the nest a little too early, don't go by your timing. You go by God's timing. God's got the right time. And if he's kicking you out of the nest, it's your time to fly. It's your time to learn to soar. It's your time to really grab a hold of your destiny. You're meant to soar. You're an eagle, right? You're not meant to live in a nest your whole life. You're not meant to just stay in one place. God has a real purpose and a plan for you. And the whole thing that really cements all this is God is with you. He's actually hovering right above you. You are, listen, okay, very clearly, you are never unsafe under the wings of God. Even though when you look down, you're going really fast and it's very scary, you are never unsafe because God is right above you. And this is a thing, right? You know where Paul talks about, you know, look above and not below. If you just keep your eye on what's below, you can get very scared. But if you just look up, you can see God right on top of you. And that's where our strength and our joy comes from. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Maybe for some of you today, God is kicking you out of the nest. It doesn't mean he is disowning you. Nothing like that. What it simply means is that God thinks it's time for you to step into your destiny. It's time for you to soar like you were meant to soar. Eagles are meant to soar. They're not meant to sit in the nest. And if it's happening, it's your time. It's God's time. Stop looking at the ground because it's scary. Stop looking around you. There's nothing around you. It's scary. Just look up. And you'll see Mama God hovering over you to guide you, protect you. At any sign of trouble, he will make sure you get to your destination. And if you're being challenged right now, if your nest is stirring right now, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let's just continue to pray. Let's have faith that what God may be asking us to do is the right time. There's a beautiful phrase. He says He will gather you in His pinions. The pinions are the feathers. It's what the eagle uses to fly. Right? It puts you right inside. Your destiny is to get out of the nest. Let's fly like we're meant to. If God is challenging you in this season, in your faith, just step into it. It's your destiny. He's going to teach you how to soar. Don't be afraid, because He's right above you. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community, and let's lift up those that are battling disease, cancer, and going through chemo and recovering from surgery. Let's ask God for His healing word. Let's pray over our community that's ill but also needs to meet Jesus. And let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's swift healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's pray for our beloved city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray over the government that it would rule righteously. Let's pray, continue to pray into the wealth gap, that it would shrink as God begins to move people's hearts to be more generous. Let's ask God for revival, especially amongst the churches. And let's pray for our friends ministering here. Let's pray for Sports Services International, Shanti Ministries, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and the Korean Church. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be upon them, anoint them, bless them, give them all the resources that they need to fight the good fight. Let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our staff. You can pray and ask God's blessing upon all of our members here. A few of them are traveling right now. I think Nate, Mon, and Yiling. And so let's just pray the covering as they're on the road. Let's just ask God to continue to encourage them, and they would work hard and for the Lord. And there'll be a real incredible sense of unity and love in the office. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and media teams. Let's pray for the worship team, a continued heart of worship, that you know they what they do publicly is what flows out of their privacy, their private worship. Let's continue to pray for excellence in all that we do and all the teams and attention to detail. Let's particularly thank the Lord for the video team and just their really inspiring video on Sunday that will continue to bring forth things that inspire our community. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for a real spirit of creativity. Pray for the next issue of Spread. They're kind of taking a break right now. Let's pray that God would just charge them and pray for the revamp of the website and a lot of the creative arts that they're integrating into the church and our media. And let's just ask for God's hand upon them. Thank you. let's pray for a house church meeting tonight. Fontana, EastEnders, Cornhill, Kowloon Garden, Old Peak Road, and Soho. Let's ask for God's hand of blessing, a real enriched community, and strong leadership as they lead and facilitate the discussions. Let's pray for a real powerful fellowship. And let's just cover tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the reminder, God, that, Lord, sometimes when we get out of the nest, Lord, it seems very scary, Lord. But help us to know that you're always there, God, that when we left, it's the right timing, God. When you stir the nest, it's the right timing, Lord, and you're always there. Lord, we have nothing to fear. And so, Lord, just lead us on our journey, God, into the destiny that you have for us. Lord, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Help us to give our best today, Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.